Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast. It's a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
We absolutely do. Coming out at 7 a.m. Hope everyone's had, you know, hope you had a good night after what happened. But hey, it was the greatest season in Clippers history.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing really to hang your head about. So proud of this team. Yeah. I mean, especially given everything. But anyways, we're going to kick things off with a recap of that final game six.
Mm-hmm.
Fell to the Suns. You know, it was what it was. We'll talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. And then it's Thirsty Thursday. Every single Thursday, we talk a little bit about who and what we want to see more of. We're going to be kind of, this is going to be like a way too early look ahead to next season.
Oh, yeah.
Just some kind of things that you know, after the success of this season that we are going to be keeping an eye on.
Uh-huh.
As the
we're
going to
dive in more on the offseason too.
Oh, but absolutely.
Just
yeah.
A quick, you know, a one off, if you will.
Yeah. This is just, like I said, a way too early kind of look ahead to the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And then in shavings, I mean, we're just going to kind of be decompressing. Once again, sort of like an informal talk about some of our favorite games of the season and stuff. We will definitely have way more in-depth coverage
for sure
on that for y'all coming up. But hey, I mean, I hope everybody enjoyed the season as much as we did.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it. Before we do, I gotta let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Oh, yeah.
At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Don't forget to stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in the episode.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so we have to recap the game. The Clippers fall 130-103 to the Suns. The Western Conference Finals is over. Clippers took it to six without Serge, without Kawhi, without Zoo. But you know what they had? A whole bunch of heart. We're just talking about this game right now. It's hard to not try and talk about the grander scheme of things. We're gonna do that next segment. What we liked in this one, I kind of want to start with Paul George. 19th straight game of 20 more points in the playoffs. It obviously, this game wasn't what I think a lot of us wanted it to be, but all things considered, I mean, Ty Lue talked about in the post game about how he was gassed and that he didn't want to do the extended rest, and he knew he had to be out there to give it his all.
Yeah.
He just proved everyone wrong this entire playoff run. Like,
would you say the revenge season tour was a success?
I would say it is. I don't know if he'll be a 96 or whatever it was in NBA 2K, but
I don't know what that means, but yes.
But, I mean, he was just exhausted in this game, but he had 21-9. We needed all the boards we could get in this one. It just wasn't enough, but you can't be mad at it. You know, what else did we like in this one?
I mean, Marcus Morris, I thought, really showed up big in this one. He had kind of some shooting struggles early, but really solid play on both ends of the floor, I thought. You know, defensively, he did have a block that was like a huge kind of momentum thing. He finished with 26-9-1. I mean, look, again, a guy who like took his knocks.
Ty Lue talked about pregame how Mook was playing through it.
Yeah.
I think was the quote he used.
Had a knee thing, like kind of went through stuff. I mean, started out the season kind of trying to get back into shape. And I feel like, you know, had his ups and downs through this playoffs. But, you know, what a great performance to kind of end out this season on.
I was worried, too, because he missed the first two shots Mook took in this game were wide open threes and they missed.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Marcus Morris's stats, you know that he has literally like more games above 50% and below 20% than he does in between those two numbers.
Yeah.
So credit to him for fighting through it.
Definitely. He also credited this team as being, you know, like one of the most fun teams he's ever played on. So I think that's right. I mean, he's already locked up. So, you know, you got to say that. Company man. no, I'm just kidding. Another thing that I thought was just really, really incredible in this one was the home crowd. Everybody out
there.
Dude,
they showed out so hard.
This almost moved me to tears multiple times.
There were a couple times this game where you just kind of looked around, and the way that this game started, where it looked like I mean, I know that the final score is what it is. I'm not pretending like it wasn't that. But this game was tied halfway through the second quarter. We cut it to 7 in the third. And there was just like, there was waves of, I don't know if belief is the right word because that sounds very cheesy.
I know, it's hope.
It's hope. It's whatever it is. But they just hit you at certain times. And I don't know if it's because games have been every other day for the last 40 days or whatever the hell it's been.
Yeah.
But it really set in tonight. And I mean, you just.
This was one of the best staples I like audiences I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. When the lead was cut down to 7, when Batum hits that 3, like, I'm never going to forget that sound.
Yeah. yeah. At one point before Reggie was going to check in, like, the entire arena was chanting Reggie.
Reggie has to stay. We're going to talk
to
about
come in.
Segment,
so yeah, I mean, I like that's the biggest thing that I like. Like this was, I mean, the fans this year. Kudos to you. Like kudos to everybody who stuck.
They deserved
it. Who stuck with it after last year? Oh man! Another thing we liked. Pat Bev's start to the game.
Start is doing a lot of heavy lifting, which I appreciate.
He had 7 of our 9 points in the first at one point.
He was doing things where it was just like, this is Bev's. It was his best start to a game in a while, which is saying a lot because he played really well lately.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he did continue some masterful defense. You know, Devin Booker, obviously he wasn't the only defender, but Booker was limited to 22 points, 38% from the floor in this one. I mean, he only scored 30 twice in the series.
Yeah, we held him in check.
So I think that is you know, very, very solid. But this kind of bridges the gap into what we didn't like, and it's got to be the way Pat Beverly ended this game.
Yeah, he got ejected for giving Chris Paul a two-hand push from behind, which, like, look, I love Patrick Beverly. Bit of a rough play.
Don't know both sides of the story.
Lord knows what Chris Paul said.
Yeah, we do not know both sides of the story. And I mean, we probably won't.
If I was in Pat Bev's shoes, I probably would have tried to push Chris Paul too. I would have slipped and fallen, but I would have done the same thing. But that was kind of when it was done. We missed.
It's just, I mean, the only reason.
It's just a rough ending.
That's just
for how good the whole game was.
Yeah, and how good he was, even like how good he was too, for him to go out like that, was not a good moment.
Not a good moment. We missed so many threes in this game. And like, look, like everything we're kind of going to talk about into what we didn't like, it has to do with fatigue. Clippers went 12 of 39 versus 3. Suns went 17 of 31. I actually thought Kennard maybe should have gotten a few more minutes on this one.
I think, yeah, especially his minutes sort of in that first half. It didn't feel like it was like soup.
It didn't feel convincing, if that makes sense.
Well, it wasn't that it wasn't convincing.
Like from Ty is what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. Yes, I agree with that 100%. It didn't seem like there was a real ironed out kind of role.
You got to run a play for him.
Yeah.
You got to. Kennard at this point with the Clippers, you need to run a play for Luke Kennard for him to get involved offensively. Yeah. But I mean, we got to give him a shout out. For the entire postseason, he stayed ready. He was over like 40% for his threes the whole postseason. I think he had a plus minus of like plus 20 or something like that. Like the man stayed ready. We're going to talk about it more in the next segment, but a lot to figure out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just they got great performances out of some of their guys. Chris Paul, I feel like this one hurt for Clippers fans. He really lit it up. Whatever. After we cut it close there to 7.
Yeah.
Started
flopping a bunch. That was cool.
Yeah. Went 7 of 8 from 3, ended with 41.
Mm-hmm. Finally got it done at Staples in a Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, right? Thought I'd never live to see the day. Jay Crowder also, like, was hitting from 3. And then, like, another thing I didn't like, he grabbed Batum's ankle. That wasn't a foul. Like, that wasn't a flagrant. It was not a play on the basketball. That's not basketball, if you ask me.
No, not over here, not on this podcast. Lot of boogie minutes in this one. And by a lot, I mean 15. They felt
which
like
does 30. Tie into the fatigue thing, like you said.
It seems necessary. Like, yes, we would have, you know, Batum still definitely not 100%.
Played sub 20 in this one.
Played sub 20. Terrence Mann, I mean, also probably not 100%. He had a, I was so bummed that Terrence didn't have a better shooting night.
Yeah.
2 of 7 from the floor, which is rough. Missed, had a, just hesitated. There was a lot of hesitation in this game. And
yeah.
I think the reason why is because guys are tired and you think, should I be doing this? I'm pretty tired right now. Like, I got to keep all my options open. I think that was the issue.
Yeah, the offense looked overall like it was...
It got stuck a couple times.
It was gummed up.
Yeah.
It wasn't like really free-flowing. The Suns were moving the ball a lot better. I mean, we got to talk about... I mean, the biggest thing, which we talked about in our pregame preview, we talked about a bunch, it's got to be the rebounding, right?
Man, okay, I'm going to break down a couple possessions in the second. And I'm not breaking down, I'm highlighting them. We saw the Clippers let the Suns get an offensive rebound, which led to a Suns 3. The Clippers also turned the ball over on it. But when I say let them get an offensive rebound, there was multiple rebounds where it's like there's 3 Clippers battling DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Ayton gets it. Part of it is because DeAndre Ayton is very good at rebounding the ball. Part of it is because guys are exhausted. We got a defense rebound and then turned the ball over, trying to move up the court. The Suns scored on that possession. And we generally just missed rebounding chances.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, the disparity is so huge. I mean, it's, I believe, 47 to 32 total rebounds for each team.
Yeah.
47 to 32, which, I mean, you're losing that game. Unless the team you're playing is shooting or like the shooting absolute is there, dog.
Or
is
your dog shooting is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably losing that game. So that's a little rough.
The Clippers cut the Suns' lead to 7 in the third, which was a moment I don't think I'll ever forget. But then the game got super wonky.
Yeah.
A bunch of
great timeout by Monty there.
Great timeout by Monty Williams. A bunch of reviews that stalled the momentum. And it really felt like the Clippers had worked so hard to get the deficit down to single digits. Because it was a lot more than single, you know, it was one, at least one more digit than single digits.
Yeah.
And after that, like the energy, we just couldn't get the energy back. It's not that it slipped away. It was just one of those things where the guys are gassed. Sometimes when you're really tired, if you need to run a bunch or something and there's no breaks, you can do it. But yeah. Then you throw in some random breaks and your body starts to catch up to how fatigued it is. And it just didn't feel there.
And it was
from a fatigue standpoint. And this isn't a fight thing. The fight was there the whole time. The fight was absolutely there.
Well, it was just another situation where I kind of felt this way in... I mean, at least both of the games that we lost at Staples. I mean, certainly that game too, actually, as well. Like, we trailed. We hung in the game for most of it. Just struggled to get over sort of that, like, that insurmountable kind of hump.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in those two games, we still kept it close. Could have stolen both of those. And then this one, it just slipped away.
It just slipped away. I can't. There's nothing, even like all the stuff we didn't like, I'm just like, it was just fatigue. Like,
whew. Still, I mean, still a hell of a team, hell of a way it's to go out Clippers considering everything. All time,
yeah. 100%. Coming up, we're going to be talking some Thirsty Thursday offseason stuff and then just decompressing from the insanity that was the season. But first, look, we contracts are obligated to give out the Michelob Ultra moment. And there's been so many good moments this entire playoffs. I don't really know what to pick other than...
Every like, boogie minute. That's what you were going to say, right?
I think it's got to be every Paul George bucket. If you're a casual fan who is, you know, a big dummy, you probably thought that Paul George was bad at basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know what more you need other than 19 games of 20 points or more while the other star is out, while Kawhi is out. He did the same thing during the regular season. Put up 41. Game 5. He flipped every single narrative. And absolutely. He didn't even care about the narratives, which is what's so nice. The man has battled mental health issues. He's talked about it. And everyone just decided to make fun of the criticism. More. Yeah, it makes no sense. Paul George brought so much joy to Clippers fans. And as we know, joy creates success. Go check out a ton of other exciting Ultra moments with hashtag Ultra Moment. Remember, whatever you do, it's only worth it and you enjoy it. We hope you enjoy this podcast as well as the Clippers. Big shout out to Michelob Ultra for only having 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Hey, what a day. Hey, joy creates success. And enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game.
All right. So we're back with Thirsty Thursday, talking about who and what we want to see more of. We're looking ahead to the offseason, to next season. I mean, the biggest thing is just health, right?
Let's just get healthy.
Like the way, oh man. And you know, it wasn't exclusive to the Clippers. This was pretty much every team,
right?
Outside of the first round.
But come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Kawhi, get healthy. This is based on no scuttlebutt. We've actually kind of been plugged into some scuttlebutt lately, which has been fun. I don't think surgery is needed, because if it was, why would you not have gotten it?
Yeah, definitely, Kawhi. Definitely.
Zoo, not entirely sure. If you need surgery, get that shit done ASAP.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Probably sprain.
Mook has sprained something. Man supposedly was hurt from what we heard.
Ankle or something, right?
I mean, Batum definitely playing sub 20 minutes in this game. He's at the very least fatigued.
Yeah.
Let's get healthy, boys. Yes. Don't do anything this offseason. Do the opposite of what Trez does.
Cryogenic.
Yes.
You got to do your cryogenic
leisure,
chamber.
Robes. Like,
no, more training.
No, not more training. We hope Serge gets healthy. I mean, we can talk about this now. The Clippers need to just run this team back.
I think they owe it to themselves. That's kind of the main thing. Let's start with Reggie. Let's start with Reggie because, this team in particular clearly meant a lot to him after he was bought out by Detroit, kind of unsure, much like a Lou Williams, like what his future would be.
He almost retired.
Yeah, like from a basketball perspective. Only his 10th year in the league. Just kind of.
Only his 10th year in the league?
I mean, that's a huge, momentous thing, but I mean, I feel like you're a young man to retire at that point if
that's
you can still
call.
Contribute.
Right, that's a very good call.
But yeah, he gave an emotional post-game presser. Talked
Dude,
about
he's crying.
Yeah, how glad he was that Paul George had given him the call. He thanked everybody on this team essentially for saving his life.
And I just, the emotional connection is there.
Yes.
Like, he wants to be a Clipper.
He was also the best offense in the NBA.
Yes, he absolutely did.
What can Reggie do, like, on a healthy offseason, like, knowing that this is already what he's capable of, and, you know, Ty knowing how to use him and the team knowing how to play around him?
I think what's difficult is that we've seen so much basketball in such a short amount of time without Kawhi Leonard that I think that kind of alters what Reggie's role would be. Like, he doesn't need to put up 23, right? Like
I know, but that's not what I'm saying.
I mean, I think he knows what he can do, which is win a championship.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does, because he knows what he's supposed to do. I think that's kind of where it ends, right? Like,
yeah, totally.
He knows he can win a chip. Like, same with Batum. Like, which brings us into our next subject. Let's keep Nick Batum.
Yeah, so I guess really the only question is, health was clearly a factor. Older player, own injury history. Does that affect your decision to extend him at all?
No. Everyone on the team has injury history.
Right?
Right. And like, this feels like another culture fit.
Yeah.
And I hate that word culture because it's so overused in sports.
Yeah.
But this
the glue.
He's a glue guy, dude. How many successful random ass baseline cuts just result in an easy bucket from Batum? He guards one through five. Like, he comes in to steady the lunatic lineups that Ty tries. And that's not a knock on Ty Lue, because you got to try stuff.
No, like, he is the stabilizing factor in all of those like weird bench things and like anything. when things are going south, you throw Batum in there and he's like kind of the equalizer.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think the health thing, I don't know if maybe that affects like your years.
We need a new fucking head trainer. How about that?
Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah. I don't know if it maybe like affects the years that you offer. I don't know. It's kind of what Jerry West to me said about like the Paul George thing. Like, if you can get it done, just do whatever it takes to get it done.
Just do it. Right. Yeah. I mean, he was just good.
He started the season starting. I mean, had his shooting struggles. Through the playoffs, though, shot 39% from three. He averaged 8, 5, and 2 with 1.3 steals a game. which is nuts.
That's kind of spicy, crazy actually.
That's spicy.
That's insane.
For the playoffs. You know, just under 30 minutes a game. I think, you know, if there wasn't some sort of like cumulative knocks or whatever, as I like to call them, I think that that could have even been higher. But maybe it shouldn't have had to been, you know,
right.
With everyone healthy, but, it certainly did help.
You know, next season, what's up with Luke?
Gotta solve that.
I put this mostly on the coaching staff, I'm being honest.
Also,
we haven't even talked about it, but shout out to Tyler. We're going to talk about it more next season. But, I mean, it's only been...
I'm excited.
It's only been one season, but he's the best Clippers coach they've ever had.
Yeah.
It's just true.
I don't like her.
I hear... No, miles ahead. What do we think about Kennard?
So, like, my thing that I bring this up is, like, I'm not getting down on the team. I think that... You know, keeping the asset makes sense. There's certainly, I mean, it's a lot of years, but, you know, if they can continue to keep him healthy, if you need to make a trade, that option is certainly there. But I think what I'm actually more excited to is just see how they can kind of grow his role within this organization.
I mean, they have to.
You know what I mean? So, like you said, I mean, some of that is definitely going to be on Ty, but... I don't know, man. A backcourt of Luke Kennard and Terrence Mann, I mean, is really exciting.
If that's the second string, there's some fun stuff there. There's like some fun possibilities.
I'm excited by that.
I think you definitely got to get, you know, you got to hand the keys over to Kennard a bit more, which makes total sense. We've seen more staggering from Ty Lue this year, which is great. So there's probably going to be one of, you know, Kawhi. I mean, you know, all good things, knock on wood, as I'm hitting on my old, you know, skull
dumb,
over
dumb
here.
Piece.
That Kawhi comes back, which... No reason to believe he won't. That's a fun time. There just is also a confidence thing. He passed up an open three in game six.
Yep.
And it was like, dude, like, we need you for kind of one thing, and it's shooting. And
that was in that first half. He was like, he was a little bit lost on the floor. And that's
what everyone's gassing, like, and everyone's gassing him up. And, you know, maybe you've been in a situation, like, if you're listening to this, you've been in a situation where you know you can do something, but you don't feel totally confident about it, even when people around you do. I'm hoping he can break out of that next season, because we need the shooting. He's an elite shooter.
Like, absolutely.
We need the shooter, shoot. It's one thing they do.
Yeah, and I think that that goes into, like, creating comfortability for him on the floor, which... look, we talk about this team like battling through inconsistency, and I mean, certainly we've even seen Luke do it. And I mean, the benching game is like forever one of my favorite Clippers games of the season.
But, oh yeah.
There still needs to be a more concerted effort to get him integrated in the offense and like get him feeling comfortable, which I think, you know, I still look back to that Boston game where like he started and they ran all that stuff through him.
Yeah.
I mean, he had like 19 or 20 points early.
It was great. And then real quick, what happens with Patterson and Boogie?
So this is the last year of Patterson's contract?
Yeah, his $3 million contract. I say keep both on him in, because if you keep both on him in, you it's can like also get another price. Minimum player to take freaking Pat's spot.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
Like, if you can, why not? The Boogie thing, man, I have my roses and my thorns for Boogie through this postseason.
Not his fault he had to play so many minutes in game six.
Not his fault. He was not necessarily always put in the best positions.
No.
The thing with the Boogie thing is, like, I guess I do worry maybe about a return to, like, an over-reliance on something on the bench.
But he's behind, you know, Ty Lue's
a little more conscious
right?
than that. Like, yeah, and there is, I mean, there certainly is a deeper center core in the front court, so.
100%. Coming up, we should be decompressing a bit, talking about how fantastic the season was, but first, Will, talk to me about auto parts. What's up with those?
You know I love talking auto parts. Look, with the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counter person orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet.
Wow.
Whether it's for your classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. What? So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Doesn't make any sense. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
All right, welcome to Shavings. And
hey, Shavings.
Hey, Shavings. We just want to let every Clippers fan know that, first of all, we appreciate you.
We appreciate
you. As my counterpart would say.
Who, let's, mate? Let's, what's the counterpart?
Let's enjoy this decompression from the season.
Yeah.
We just went through, what is it, 19 games in less than 40 days or just over 40 days. And during those 40 days, the Clippers had their best season of all time.
Yeah.
And we got to see it.
I still feel like we haven't even gotten to, like...
It feels like 4 years ago that Terrence Mann had 39 to take us over Utah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I feel like we're still...
PG had 41, and it feels like it was ages ago.
Yeah, we still haven't even gotten to enjoy, like, that game six win over Utah.
No. We've all been catching our breath. Personally for me, like, I don't know. It's any Clippers fan who was there this season, it's not often you get to see the best team of all time. For your favorite.
For your franchise.
It's rare.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
Absolutely.
And we got to see it this year. Just, there's so many insane games to look back on.
Yeah.
The Detroit game, the Hawks game, the Heat game.
Yeah.
Like, just these moments where, if you compare it to what the team was like the first year of the Paul George and Kawhi experiment, this team flipped every negative narrative.
Yeah.
The Paul George is bad narrative, gone. This team can't play together. They need a real point guard. Very clearly gone. We didn't even take a victory lap on that, and we won't just yet. But
classy gents over here.
Oh, we're classy. We deserve this. Clippers fans deserve this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the squad deserved this year. I mean, they
whole damn team.
I just feel like they took a different approach this year when it would have been so easy to crumple. And I feel like that was the media, I mean, like, sort of talking point from national media, which, not to be the national media guy, but...
it's bad.
We're
not national. We're borderline local, dude.
I mean, that was like sort of the...
Our podcast actually can't go outside of
California. No, I'm not saying I'm national media guy. I'm not like the crazy person to be like, the national media.
Well, you're not talking... You didn't say mainstream media, so you got that going for you.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the whole thing was like, are the Clippers scarred? Are the Clippers broken from the 3-1? Blah, 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 blah. No.
No.
They got better.
You know what? They got better. And it's a huge credit to Ty Lue.
Yeah.
Who, dude, I don't know how many adjustments you can make. He was cycling through subs. It was unbelievable in game six.
Yeah.
And he worked with what he got, dude. Like, someone was tweeting at us that they were like...
The coaching battle, too, in that second round was...
And we won.
And the first round.
Yep. And someone was tweeting at us, they're like, are our guys really that tired? It's like, dude, are you a fucking idiot? This team is on fumes. And Ty Lue was still getting open looks generated.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about a system that without Kawhi and Paul George, Nick Batum was still getting 9 threes off in games.
Yeah.
Like, Ty Lue did such a good job with this team this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he exceeded expectations, I think. I love Ty Lue from the beginning. We did that podcast with Evan Damrell from Locked On Cavs. And I was like, I mean, you know, the expectations, Western Conference Finals are bust. He got us there.
Yeah.
And he got us there with a skeleton crew.
Yes.
If you've ever worked at a restaurant, this Clippers Western Conference Finals run is like when three people call out in the middle of Mother's Day brunch. And you're like, all right, let's
the busiest day of the restaurant.
The busiest day of the restaurant. You're obviously at a very brunch heavy restaurant right next to a church. I don't know. That's what happened this year. I personally, I never thought that a team could top 18-19.
Yeah.
I didn't think that that was possible for a Clippers team in terms of vibe, as the kids say.
Just feel. Yeah.
Yeah. And this season did. This season had all the positive energy from that year without. And there was no bullshit this year. There was no Amic article on how the team hates each other.
Yep.
Everyone seemed to get along and work together and check each other when they needed to check each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the thing that we heard like again and again, like from the team, was that they, I mean, there was an environment where guys were, you know, willing to call each other out when necessary. And like, I don't know, people just kind of took everything sort of in stride. And I think if they can keep that same mentality, I mean, we're looking at, I mean, a very solid team, you know, for a while moving forward.
100%. And I think like everything that happened this season, this has to be my favorite Clippers team of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Batum Battalion.
Yeah.
Shout out to the fans for latching onto that. Rexpec Reggie, PG bucking every narrative, the team doing the exact same thing, Kawhi Leonard being elite when he was available, the Luke Kennard progress report.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to take almost like 3 weeks to really realize what happened these last 40 days.
Yeah.
And let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy what happened. We have nothing to hang our heads about.
No.
No one on this team does. It's just, I'm so sad the season is over.
What do they say though? Don't cry because it's over. Smile because, and whatever the fuck else. You know what I mean?
Sure. Right. Yeah, let's go with that. No. Sure, a positive note. No, it's just been phenomenal. And everyone listening to this podcast, thank y'all so much. We need y'all. We just need it. Friday's episode, taking a look at the starters, which is a very fluid term for this this year's Clippers team. Their season grades. Gonna be honest with you, not really sure. What else we're going to be talking about? We're just a little tired right now. Just decompressing.
We're going to figure that out on tomorrow's.
We're going to figure it out right before we record.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to have a Love Mary quarantine though. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, man, what a damn season.
Yeah.
Whew. There's a lot to look back on and be very proud of. Where can these people, tell everyone else on the bus to listen to us?
Oh, man.
We're a bus pod, dude.
We are a bus pod. Tell your bus friends to check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It works flawlessly, like we mentioned up top. We do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. We'd love to have you listen.
We absolutely would. Going to be hitting a bit of an off-season schedule soon, but I have been positive, Chuck Locklear.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.